Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Mark Huberti, and this is the podcast for entrepreneurs who are looking for the breakthrough for their businesses. As we continue to put in more work for our businesses, the tasks can really add up, and we can frequently find ourselves doing all of these non-important tasks that are necessary but not moving the needle as far as we'd like, and we could be doing these tasks over and over again, but instead of letting these tasks clutter our minds and our time, we need to be documenting and delegating these tasks to form processes that we can then hand off to other people. And this episode will teach you how to do that. Today's guest built a nationwide video production company that sold over 3 million in youth sporting event videos before he was 25 years old. In 2013, he sold that business and founded an operations consulting firm that helps other entrepreneurs create scalable systems and processes. Over the last 5 years, that firm, Organized Chaos, has worked with hundreds of companies in dozens of industries and invested in building six of those businesses to over $30 million in annual revenue. Today's guest's third business, Trainual, is a platform for entrepreneurs wanting to get their businesses out of their brains by documenting and delegating the processes in their companies. Today's guest for episode 137 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than Chris Ronzio. Chris, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you so much, Mark. It's exciting to be here.
Chris, it is a pleasure to have you on the show. And this is a really important topic because we have like so many different things floating in our mind at a given time, but we need to really put these on paper and figure out who's going to do them, like just have that team. So that's really important. But before we really dive into the nuts and bolts of this episode, I'd love to get some background. So why did you start Trainual?
So Trainual came at just the intersection, the perfect opportunity. It was sort of the output or the product of everything I've done before it. So when I started my first company, I was 14 years old. I know you're a teenage entrepreneur, so I love and respect what you're doing. And as I built that company, it was all about how we could build efficient systems and processes and grow throughout the country. I can tell you more about that business if you'd like, but really the game came down to how many events can we do, how many people can we train to produce productions in every state in the country. And we were shipping videos all over the world, and to do that at scale, we needed to have our processes down. So it was very important, and that was ingrained in me from an early age. And then as I moved into consulting, it was the same thing. And it was just doing that for other industries and you know, going through other kinds of businesses, operations, and seeing how they can repeat what they do consistently, how they can delegate what they do. And that all led to building a software so that we could really get this process and methodology out to more people.
Now, for all the listeners, Trainual, I will definitely be talking about it more as we go into the interview. But if this is something that you're listening to the interview and you feel like this is something that you need, that link will be in the show notes where you can also get 50% off during the first month. So I wanted to mention that at the start so that if you're liking this, you realize that that discount is waiting for you. But for people who like some businesses are really big, like they have all these processes that, yes, you need to be documenting and delegating. But what about that small business owner who doesn't really have as many processes set up or feels like they don't have as many set up? Where would you start if you're a smaller size?
So regardless of what size you are, I think the process of delegating is the hardest thing that entrepreneurs or even employees within businesses have to learn how to manage. Because if you can't delegate, you can't grow. And the only way to take on more responsibility and do bigger projects is to delegate the smaller things that you already know how to do or the processes that you've figured out. So the reason we came up with the acronym or the slogan of do it, document it, delegate it is because as you figure things out, as you figure out how to do something consistently in your business, the only way you can hand it off to someone else is if you document it or put it in some sort of way that you can explain it to somebody else. And most people just do this through email, or maybe they write up a Google Doc or an Evernote document, and that's great. That's a great place to start. But the idea is, as long as you've figured something out and you're doing it repeatably, then the next step in growing is just to hand that off to someone else so that you free up time for yourself. So what we always tell people that are just solo entrepreneurs or solopreneurs or people getting started is, you know, at first you should do everything. You should be in your business. Even though all the advice says, you know, work more on your business than in your business, I think at first you need to be in your business, because as the business owner, you're figuring out how you want to do things. You're creating processes that are uniquely yours. And as you figure those things out and recognize that you're doing them the same way every time, then you'll naturally want to delegate those things and move on to other challenges. So the process is pretty natural. And regardless of where you are in the growth of your business, I think it's something to get comfortable with.
And you mentioned a really important point, working on your business versus in your business, because when you're working on it, that's when the real growth happens and you're not in the day-to-day tasks that, again, they may be necessary, but they are not allowing you to achieve these amazing goals because they're just repetitive tasks that keep you where you are instead of moving you forward. And delegating is something very important for any business, but we want to make sure that we're handing our work to the right people. So how do you recommend finding the right people to hand your work to?
Well, again, I think it depends on where you're coming from. So if you're just a solo person and you're looking to free up more capacity for yourself, then a great resource are systems like Fancy Hands, I always recommend, as a virtual assistant service. It starts at $29 a month. So really, there's no beating it if you just want to start offloading some simple research tasks or things like that off your plate. If you've got a more consistent need or more project-based stuff, then I use services like Upwork to find virtual help all around the world to help me with projects that I don't want to spend time doing myself. That's another great step. Beyond that, you might look for a dedicated virtual assistant service. So this is finding someone that is going to work with you consistently and gets to know your habits and your preferences. I used to use Zirtual for that. There's other services like Time, etc., and Red Butler, and I'm sure you know of plenty others. But as you move up that chain, you start with just this task-based delegation, and then you move into role-based delegation. And then whether they're virtual or someone that you find in person, like through Craigslist or through Indeed, you're eventually going to start hiring people to support the growth of whatever it is you're doing so that you can do it on a larger scale.
And again, hiring all these people is so important, and it's good. Like Upwork is a really good one. I also use onlinejobs.ph to find some people to help me out with my tasks. But as you delegate more processes, and even as you just add more stuff to your plate, it's very easy to lose like track of everything that's going on. So like, I made a change to my blog, for instance, and that change for some reason resulted in a disconnect with Libsyn, and then episodes were not going on my blog properly. I figured out what was going on. But the point is, we have all these processes that are getting delegated or even automated, but we lose track of them. So how do you recommend that we keep track of a series of processes so everything continues to run smoothly?
The time when you want to keep track of processes is when you need to rely on someone else to manage them. So a lot of businesses, a lot of small businesses run on tribal knowledge from within the company. And it's not a bad thing. It's not a scalable thing, but it's not a bad thing. If there's people that are reliable and you've got redundancy and multiple people know how to do something, then sometimes you can get by with tribal knowledge. But in the instance that you mentioned, if you're relying on virtual help and there's turnover there and you need things to be checked from, you know, now and again to make sure that they're still working, then the best way is to have all of your processes written down. So the old school way to think about this is an operations manual or your standard operating procedures. If you've ever read the E-Myth, they talk about making the franchise prototype for your business, whether you want to franchise or not. They say every business should have the systems within it that it could be franchised, that you could give someone your playbook and they would know how to run your company. So as entrepreneurs, when we're in the day-to-day working in our companies, it's hard to really imagine that playbook of everything being documented perfectly. And I think for some, it seems too daunting to ever even start working on. So what our recommendation is that little by little, as there are processes within your company that you need to show someone else how to do, or that you need to revisit annually or quarterly or monthly, you write those things down. And whether for you that's just a Google Doc or an Evernote document or a system like Trainual, writing them down somewhere and filing them away in a place that you can reliably find it is the only way that you'll be able to keep tabs on all the processes in your business.
And it's interesting how you mentioned doing it little by little, because we have so many processes that if you're just doing this for the first time, it can feel so overwhelming. But just start the next process that you find yourself in the middle of, or even have someone else document all this information, because it's really important to have that information. It can feel overwhelming, but if you really make it into a bite-sized chunks, it's much easier to document that information than be able to keep track of everything. And one of the great things about being able to document and delegate is all the time that you save. And for someone who's doing this the first time, they may be wondering, okay, I documented, I delegated, but what now? Like, what do I do with my extra time? So for someone who like just delegated for the first time, how would you recommend these people leverage their new time that they managed to find in their day?
Great question. So I wrote a blog post about this a while ago, and I tried to see how much I could outsource of my week to get as much time possible back as I could. And one of the things that was just staring me in the face was this big basket of laundry in my bedroom. And I knew that it needed to be ironed and folded and put it away, and it sat there for weeks. So I looked up a service, and I ended up using TaskRabbit, which is around the country, and found a service that, you know, they would come over and they would iron all my clothes and put them away for a few hours. And I think the cost for that was something like $45. And so to me, it was, okay, if I can free up 3 hours of my time for $45, I'm valuing my time at least $15 an hour. So I need to go out and do something with those 3 hours that would be a productive use of that time. And so I focused on doing marketing and sales activities and what I could do during that time. So I think if you're delegating and the purpose is to free up time, then the reason you should be delegating shouldn't be because you want to go sit on the couch, or you know, maybe it is if you've got enough recurring revenue coming in and you just don't want to work as many hours, then that's fine. But if the purpose is so that you can grow and you can do higher level things in your business, I think most people would have an understanding of what the more important work to be done is. One great book I always recommend is The One Thing, where, you know, there's so much you could do in your business. I'm sure you've recommended this before too. But there's one thing that really moves the needle. And if I do this one thing, it'll make all the other things a little easier, kind of like the first domino you need to knock down. So for many people, delegating tasks that are less important is just a way to free up time for what they already recognize are the more important things.
Now, I want to point out something in Chris's response, where one of the things he said is he gets someone from TaskRabbit to help out with ironing everything, and that frees up 3 hours of his time, $45. That's $15 an hour when you average it out. And some people may think, well, why can't Chris just like do it on his own? He saves that $45. But one of the things that I've heard about a lot more lately, and you could probably double down on this as well, is that we all have each hour is worth a certain amount to us. So if your hour is worth $20 an hour and you're able to free up 3 hours by doing something that on average you delegate for $15 per hour, then it makes sense to do that. And I've heard a lot of people, they're talking about figuring out how much each of your hours is worth. So like for someone employed on a wage, it's easier to know how much you're making each hour, but for an entrepreneur, it's not as set in stone. So what are your recommendations for determining how much each hour is worth to us? Because knowing that would help us make decisions like whether we use TaskRabbit to have someone help out with the ironing?
Sure. Well, I'll answer that in a few ways. First of all, if someone is employed and has a salary, you can do some simple math and figure out your hourly rate based on just the number of hours you work in a week and the annual salary. If you're working 40-hour weeks, the regular number of hours in a year is 2,080. So if you divide your salary by 2,080, you would get to your hourly rate. Even for someone that's employed, I think there's work that could be done by a virtual assistant to make your life a little easier. And if you're working in a company and just trying to free up that capacity to start your side project or start your first business, then maybe taking your hours from 40 hours a week to 35 hours a week with the help of some virtual services would be a big win. If you're an entrepreneur, you kind of do the math in reverse. So you say, instead of what I'm currently making as a salary, what's my goal for this year? What's my target revenue or my target income for this year? And then do the same, same division, divide that number by 2080. And you'll get to what you should be respecting your time, the rate that you should be respecting your time at. Now, of course, if that income doesn't exist and you're just setting it as a target income, it doesn't mean that everything that you do has to be making that $50 an hour or whatever the number is. It just means that on average, that's where you want to fall. So some activities might be much more per hour, and for some hours, you might fill the time by taking on lower margin work. And that's okay as you're building up. It's just important to continue to look at those numbers.
And I really like that idea of looking at the number, like especially from an entrepreneurial standpoint, because it's not as like you could set a projection, of course, but what you hit determines like that, how much an hour is worth to you. So I really loved your insights on that question. And one of the things that influences like how much people think an hour is worth of themselves is how far they've come. And part of that journey in getting to where you want to be, there's obviously going to be some roadblocks during that journey. Some people, they feel like they haven't really tapped into their full potential yet. So Chris, I'm wondering if you could share with us what you believe holds most people back from reaching their full potential.
Well, I think that the first thing people need to do is understand the context of what they're trying to create. So when I built my consulting company after selling the video company, lifestyle design was a big topic for me. And I wanted to build a business around my life instead of having to sacrifice and build my life around my business. So I think the first thing is deciding how much you want to work. How many hours do you want to work? What kind of income do you want to make? What kind of lifestyle do you want? And getting really clear about that upfront is a great way to start. And then as you grow, being more intentional about how you spend your time is very important.
And that time factor is definitely very important, because you can make all the money in the world, but you can't use your money to like get extra time, in a sense where like there's some story where like someone's on their like last moment and like they can't use their billions of dollars to like go back in the past, like 60 years in the past, and relive that experience. So
sure,
we do have to utilize the time that we're given and use it in a very intentional way. Documenting and delegating definitely create a lot more time. But regardless.
So you mentioned the full potential. And one thing I want to point out is that, you know, as you're starting out in business, you're not going to have the highest hourly rate. So at first, you're looking to fill your capacity, and you might have to have a lower rate in order to fill your capacity. And as you fill your capacity, and as you figure out that you're doing something that has demand and that's taking up your time, then you're going to get busier and busier and busier. And you wouldn't start to delegate anything until you need to free up time and capacity for yourself. So once you get to where your workload is full, and you feel like you're doing as much as you possibly can and you need help, when you're feeling overwhelmed and you're feeling the chaos, then that's really when you need to get more efficient or when you need to delegate. So in terms of reaching your full potential, I think it really starts with understanding how to make yourself busy. If you don't feel busy and you don't have a full workload, then just keep discovering what things you could do to get yourself busy. Once you're busy, then you can be a little pickier. So now you can delegate something and free up, you know, say you go from 100% capacity and I just delegate a couple tasks. And now I go back down to 80% capacity. But with that extra 20%, I'm going to raise my rate or I'm going to be a little pickier about the projects that I take on. And so you do that little by little and you get back to the 100%. And then you have the advantage of saying, okay, what else can I delegate? And the cycle just continues and continues. And whether you have one employee or one virtual assistant or 1,000 employees, it's the same journey of filling up your capacity and then deciding which things you can carve off and hand off to someone else.
That's a very interesting point. And I feel like some people think about delegating, like they have that idea of that internet millionaire just like sitting on the beach, just chilling, not doing any type of work whatsoever while everyone else does it. But I like that idea of getting busy first on your own and becoming more efficient and effective. And then once you have that down, doing some of the delegation.
Exactly.
And I know that delegation in the beginning and like even as you go, but especially in the beginning, it can be a challenge. And we're going to face challenges along our journeys. We've faced a lot already. Everyone has, but more are coming along the way. And one of the questions I love to ask when thinking about challenges is, Chris, I'm wondering if you could share with us one big challenge you faced in your journey and a powerful lesson you learned during that challenge.
Oh, there's so many challenges. I think as an entrepreneur, every day is a challenge. You know, I think the challenges, you know, even today, I mentioned before the call, we're on product hunt today, which is really exciting. But we've had challenges in terms of how to maximize our signups by, do we limit credit card? Do we not require a credit card for sign up or do we require a credit card for sign up? And, you know, we made a decision and it might've been the wrong one. And, you know, those types of things happen every day and you have to sort of weather the storm. Going back, I think to my video company, there were a lot of big decisions, you know, a lot of big challenges. And one that we had was, we had a contract with US Figure Skating to do every one of their events in the country. And it was fun just watching the Winter Olympics. The US athletes there were people that I knew and the people that we recorded when they were just little kids. And you know, at one point in that arrangement, we had to decide, you know, this is a great marquee client, but is this really working? Is this really what we want in the business? And back in I believe it was 2012, we had to decide to end our sponsorship. And there's things like that that come up in business and really difficult situations. But I think entrepreneurs need to not only learn to weather those storms, but to enjoy the turbulence and know that everything you're doing is an experience and will lead to something positive down the road.
I love the idea of just enjoying the journey. I mean, that seems to be the main essence of what we should be doing. It's obviously harder at certain points than others, but we need to understand that we're heading in the right direction. We need to have that positive feeling that we're going in the right direction. That'll definitely make the challenges a lot easier. And throughout this interview, I've noticed that you've mentioned a few books, the E-Myth and The One Thing. And I'm wondering if you could share with us three other books that you believe would have a big impact on us.
Well, three books that were really influential for me were first The Art of Nonconformity, which is by Chris Guillebeau, and he's written a couple other great books, The Happiness of Pursuit and The $100 Startup. All of his books have this central theme of how the new millionaires or the new rich are people that design their lifestyle in the way that they want and value their time more than their money. So I think that's a great recommendation and manifest manifesto for your audience. Next is Platform by Michael Hyatt. What I learned out of that book is that probably something you've learned through all these podcasts and building such a large audience, and that's that community and building a tribe and building a platform is really the only way to get your products and services out there. And that you can grow so much as a local business entrepreneur through your own networks, but unless you can understand how to replicate your message and who you are beyond just the people that you can reach in your local circles, you're never really going to get beyond that ceiling. And that was a great book to describe how to do that. And then the last one I recommend is Rework by the founders of 37 Signals. This was a foundational book for me as I was growing my business and starting to hire employees to really realize that business doesn't have to be so hard. And it is hard, of course it's hard, but the business of the business can get really chaotic as you grow. And that book helped reset my perceptions on what a efficient business looked like.
Chris, thank you for those great book recommendations. I'll make sure those are in the show notes at markcaberti.com/E137. And before we go, one of the questions that I enjoy asking, this requires that we flip the tables a little bit. So, Chris, what is one question that you believe we need to be asking ourselves more often?
Is there a better way to do what I'm doing? I think is the question. You know, in the consulting, we interviewed over 1,000 employees one-on-one. And in that time frame, the one question that provided the most results was, you know, why do you do it this way? And so many times the answer was, we've just always done it this way. And when you don't take time to be critical of your own processes, you're never going to improve them. I don't think there is ever a perfect process. I think your systems and your processes of your business are ever changing, ever evolving, and you'll never be finished. So it's important to always be asking yourself the question of, is there a better way to do what I'm doing?
Chris, I absolutely love that question. I'm actually pondering the question that you ask some of your the employees. So that might be something that I ask future guests. So I'm thinking about that now. I don't want to like go too deep into it right now. But Chris, I can't thank you enough for sharing all these great insights throughout our time together. Were you going to add something?
No, I really appreciate the time. And if anybody is interested in how to delegate the processes in their business, then please feel free to look me up online, any of the blogs or books that I've come up with, or check out trainual.com, like we've discussed.
Yes. And in the show notes, there will be a 50% off coupon during the first month for anyone who signs up there. So if you want that coupon, head over to the show notes. Chris, I cannot thank you enough for sharing all of your insights with the listeners. Thank you for taking the time to be on the show.
Thanks, Mark.
How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn more and get access to this free resource, visit markcaberti.com/retweets.